Going back to Mark chapter 5, Mark chapter 5 and the verse 21 as we began reading there, and we're introduced here to a father. Father's Day for Jairus was a very great blessing. There were things happening in his life that he had desperate needs, and on this day, those needs were wonderfully met. This man was a ruler, or one of the rulers, and Jewish history tells us that there were up to 23 rulers in a synagogue. But he certainly had status and standing in society, and it was that synagogue that was built by the Roman centurion, the one with the white marble that we learned about, one of the most outstanding synagogues in Bible times. And of course it was in the city of Capernaum. If you read the whole context, you'll get the fact that they were over on the other side of the Lake Galilee, over at Decapolis, and they now had crossed back over to the Capernaum side of the lake. Now, Jairus had an only daughter who was just 12 years old. She was the apple of his eye. It appears that this man was a widower. His wife is not in the picture here at all. And he was no doubt filled with hope that this little girl would make his home a place of joy. She was likely already fulfilling many domestic duties and reminding her father of her mother. Those little things that a father may notice in the character and those little details in her life would have brought great joy and cheer as she reminded him of her mother. But the cruel enemy of death visited the home. And that little one, the apple of a father's eye, the joy of his heart, lay prostrate, nigh to death. Every remedy failed, every attempt to restore life came to nothing. And here in this story we read that she was left as dead, if not already dead. And we find this man on the search to find help. There are fathers here today who are also in need of such help. Because those children that we have had the joy of seeing in our homes have been smitten by the power of death. Not physical death, but spiritual death. The old enemy that plants the seed of death in the heart, sin, has in reality stolen away the heart of children. They that were once the joy of the home and the delight and the center of activity have now become the biggest problem that you've ever had to face. The spirit of rebellion, the spirit of anarchy and defiance because of spiritual death. Now the power of sin is very evident. The heartbeat of love is stolen away. Not only love for God, but love for you. Because you now as a father are the ambassador of the Lord. And as you seek to lead that child in the way of truth and righteousness, you realize that you're fighting a death principle. The principle of sin that spoils every spiritual activity. The interest is now no longer on you or on the home, but on far-off places, on waste and want, and pride, and even open sin, and you have a child in body only, while the soul is dead. What shall you do? Father, what are you doing? If this rightly describes what is the case in many, many, many Christian homes, what are you going to do about that child, the joy of your heart, that is being stolen away by the cruel hand of spiritual death and sin? Well, I would recommend that you do what Jairus did. I would recommend that on this Father's Day that you appeal to the Savior. That you bring your child and all the care of that one to the Lord. We learn here from Jairus that he went to find the Lord Jesus that he might make the child well. And of course, going through the story, he did. But it's an amazing step for this man. And our Lord was no disappointment because he exercised that omnipotent power. And we shall not find him a disappointment either if we turn to the Lord and bring our children to him. He will honor the faith of fathers. Now today I don't just want to preach about Jairus, I want to preach about the Savior, because the Lord Jesus honored the faith of Jairus. That's the thing that counts. You know, we could imitate Jairus to a T. We could do all the things that he did and not be any whit better. But it is the faithfulness and it is the honor that the Lord placed upon Jairus that makes the difference, because Jesus still lives. And he still has power to change hearts. And he still unites homes to be Christian families. And that little one growing up in your midst, whatever age, whatever condition, and the fears you have, and the waywardness you see, and the rebellion that you see, as a father, God will honor your faith if you will be as Jairus. We see here that the Lord Jesus honors a father's faith in humbling himself to find the mercy of the Lord to save his children. To humble himself. You see what humbling this was. Think of this man, a ruler of the synagogue. He was a staunch Jew. I don't think we need to learn any more of the awful hostility that there was from the hearts of many Jewish leaders against the Lord Jesus, and how darkened and blinded and opposed they were to submitting to anything that Jesus taught or said. But here is a father in desperate straits, and he comes and he renounces, first of all, his own fatherly power. He acknowledges that as a father, he is failed. He speaks here in the verse 23, and he talks about, "My little daughter lieth at the point of death." And here he comes humbling himself as a father. He could do nothing for her, nothing with her. And he comes saying, "My little daughter." And the Lord honored that. It is no disgrace, but it is a high honor to come as a father to the Savior for your child. It's an honor to him. How necessary it is for a father to do this. Renounce your parental skills. Recognize that all your theories when your child was born into this world, that you were going to be the best father that ever lived. But you failed. And you would have the best technique of raising a child that any father ever used. But you failed. And all your strictness and all your rules and regulations and all the discipline of training a child has only produced one in whom is a heart dead and full of sin. Just confess that. Just go and tell it to the Lord. As Jairus did. He came saying, "My little daughter." And you know, the Lord knows that that which is born of the flesh is flesh. The Lord knows that. He knows what human nature is. He knows the state of your child's heart. He knows the plague of sin that rages there. He knows the death that has come upon your child. As a father, you need to go to the Lord earnestly and confess all of that. And the Lord will be honored by you going to him on behalf of your child. But then also, as I alluded to a little earlier, Jairus renounced his own religion and trusted in Jesus' power. This was a very big step for Jairus. To come after all his teaching. Can you see him teaching in the synagogue? Week after week after week. He was the ruler. He's the one who said, "You sit down, don't you teach that." He guided the affairs of the synagogue. But now he's not guiding anything. He's coming bankrupt and empty of any religious strength or support. And you'll notice the posture that he takes. Verse 23, and he besought him greatly, saying, or verse 22, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter. This was a very humbling, but a very commendable act, as it is marked with great genuineness. Of all the Jews that I read in the Bible, this is the most genuine man that I can think of. Of all that ever came to Jesus with questions or needs, this is a man that's for real as he falls at Jesus' feet. And here we have a religious leader renouncing any good, any power, any ability, any hope of seeing his daughter well. And all fathers need to realize that empty religion, with all the strictness and the teaching and the catechizing and the Sunday school exhortations, cannot renew a dead heart. Our children are born with dead hearts, spiritually dead, carnal and wicked, with the seeds of lust, pride and worldliness already growing in their hearts. What are we to do when we see that spirit of rebellion, that waywardness, that worldliness almost oozing out of their lifestyle and desires? What can a father do? Well, just do what Jairus did. Go to the Lord Jesus. Take it to him. Father, have you really done that? I know you've fretted and worried and you've seen these things with concern and you've wondered how it's going to be remedied and fixed, but let me ask you this question very pointedly. Have you really gone to the Lord to plead for your child? Have you really gone, as Jairus did, with all the genuineness and the emptiness and the openness that he sought the Lord, and say, Lord Jesus, I am in desperate need of you to come and make my child well? Now, I ask that question because many parents don't. Even Christian parents don't. Oh, they pray in general terms, Father, bless my child. Bless my home, bless my family. But there is little brokenness. Here's a man that is broken over his daughter, who is filled with anxiety and filled with concern, and he goes to the Lord in great desperation. And I know of many people, and they trust the machinery of the church. Well, I bring my child to Sunday school. What more can I do? My child's in church. Once, twice a Sunday, midweek as well, go to youth meetings, and all the externals of church life, I have my child there. We even read the Bible at home. What more can a father do? We learn from Jairus that every one of us need to come earnestly to the Lord Jesus and plead for their soul, realizing that even with the benefit of the means of grace, even with the privileges of the Christian church, and I don't deny them, far better to have children in the house of God than in the world. But let's face it, a child of the Christian home and a child growing up in the church needs the same miracle as a child growing up in the heathen land. Same miracle. Because there's deadness in the heart. Spiritual deadness. And there's a need for that miracle of regeneration. Parents, where are your cries to the Lord for your children? Where are those pleas with God for your child? Where are the beseechings of a godly parent that is bankrupt, knowing not what else to do, and knowing where else to go for hope? You cry to the Lord. Here is a great pattern that we must follow from the life of Jairus. And we need to see that Jesus honors this. That's the point I want to make. I don't want merely to turn you into a Jairus. I want to create within you faith in the Lord's mercy. And Jairus went to the Lord Jesus, prostrated himself, and poured out his heart with confidence that the Lord would have mercy. And he did. He did. And as we know the story, he went to the home and raised the child. And where is your faith, father, mother? Where is your faith in the mercy of the Lord Jesus for your children? One thing to talk about, we are a people of faith. We are the Israel of God. We are a covenant people. We are a Bible-believing people. But where is your faith for your children? Where is your trust and confidence that the Lord will have mercy on your child and save that soul and bring that dear one, that dearest one in your heart, to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus? Secondly, the Lord Jesus honors a father's faith in the face of impossible odds. Impossible odds. Jairus had faith when at first the child was dying. Every other remedy failed. And it would appear that when he left the home that she was at the point of death, but not quite dead. He witnessed the daughter's decline. He watched her. She was strong and healthy. She was active and a delight in the home. But suddenly she was struck down. And he could see that decline of her strength and her ability to communicate. First she muttered words and then she just sighed deep sighs. And soon it was that there was little response at all. And it seemed that death was just paralyzing the child. And in that state, he went seeking for the Lord Jesus. Now the godly parent also may be witnessing that spiritual decline in his child. There was a time when your child would have taken the Bible and read it. There was a time whenever you had family devotions, your child would have asked questions. There seemed to be alertness and living interest in the things of God. But that's no more. No more talk about the Bible. There's no more interest in the Lord. The only interest that your child has is what the world speaks about. Oh, there's lots of talk about worldly things, but spiritual things, it's mum. Nothing. And as you look at your child with a dead heart and no interest and a declining spirituality, can you still go to the Lord in faith and believe that the Lord will, in mercy, bring new life, saving power? Then in verse 35, you'll notice that the word came from the ruler's home. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, "Thy daughter is dead." And here now appears to be impossible odds. And the natural thing was what they said, "Why troubleth the master any further? Why have you left home? And here we are, there's mourning and there's weeping over your daughter. And you're away over here in this other part of town. And you're trying to seek the Lord Jesus to come with. Leave him alone. Don't bother the master anymore." But even then, we find the mercy of the Lord Jesus is to be found. He still believed, even when she was dead. You know, doctrinally, all parents have to come to this realization. And I know there are all different ideas of how to raise children and how to teach children and how to train them. And as young parents, we often start out with saying, "Well, if I follow this system consistently and all the way through, I'll see my children saved." But sooner or later we realize there is no human method of converting a child's heart because children are dead, spiritually dead. Turn with me to Ephesians and the chapter 2. And let's apply this to children born into our homes. Ephesians chapter 2. "And you hath he quickened." That means you hath he given life, spiritual life. "Who were dead in trespasses and sins." The Bible speaks in this language of spiritual death. They conduct habits and ways and walk that all bespeak of only an interest in sin. They will never choose the good. This is the fallen will of man. Oh yes, they've got power to choose. But they'll only choose evil all the time. And they will walk according to the course of this world. Why? Because they're dead in trespasses and in sin. There is no desire after God, no thought of God. And all the inclination of the heart is to depart from God. And so the parent finds that you're in an impossible struggle to try and bring that child to walk in the ways of the Lord when their heart wants them to walk according to the course of the world. And naturally, the disposition of the heart will always win out. That's why our Lord Jesus said, "Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." And so the great need in our children's hearts is not just teaching, not just discipline. No, I agree with those things. Those are things we are to do. But it's not just those things. There must be a time in that child's life when they are born from above, when new life is planted in a dead heart. And without that miracle of grace, without regeneration, that child is as lost as a witch doctor's child in Africa. That child's heart is as set on wickedness. Even after, in this case, 12 years, training and teaching, still an enemy of God, blind to spiritual things, no desire, no thought, no love for God at all. This is the doctrine of man's total depravity. And we have to realize that our religion is not hereditary. It's not by genes. It's not passed down from your faith to your child just because your child's born into a Christian home. Titus 3:7 is another very important text. I'd like to read this with you. Titus 3 and the verse 7, verse 5 to 7. Titus 3, verse 5. "Not by works of righteousness, which we have done." And parent, we have to be honest and say that our children will be converted not by our works of righteousness, not even the parents' works of righteousness. And all our works of righteousness cannot save our children, will not give them new hearts. "Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." It's a miracle. Mother and father, get it into your mind. The salvation of your child will be a miracle. A miracle in the sense that you cannot do it. That the course of natural things will not bring it about. It has to be the direct movings of the Spirit of God in the spirit of your child. To bring your child out of that spiritual death into the light of the gospel. Then verse 6 says, "Which He shed in us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs." How do people become heirs of grace? Not by nature, not by family, but by the direct workings of the Spirit of God in the heart. But we are all called to exercise faith in the Lord Jesus that He will work that. And we're to plead with the Lord to have great mercy on our children, to give them new hearts. And as He promises, "I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish." We've got to pray for that. Now, boys and girls, do you have that? Are you here today and you're seeking to walk in your parents' ways? You're seeking to walk morally and godly? Let me tell you, without the new birth, without being born again, you are not a child of God. Even though you've been dedicated and baptized and brought into the church, and even though your mother and father are prayer warriors and read their Bible and walk with God, you need to be born again. You need a new heart. And it's only the Lord Jesus that can give that to you. Even as He brought this little girl of Jairus to life. You'll see also that Jesus honors a father's trust in His power. Go now to verse 40 in Mark 5. You'll see that He trusted His dead daughter to Jesus' care. Verse 40. The others were laughing at the idea of going to the room and doing anything with the corpse. Mark 5, verse 40. They laughed him to scorn. But when he put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. So Jesus entered in, and the mother and father stood by to witness, and entrusted their daughter to him. Parents, do you entrust your children to the Lord? Have you really handed over the spiritual care of your children to the Lord? Yes, you're an observer. That's what parents are. We're observers of what God does in the hearts of our children. We can't do it. We can't affect it. We have to beseech the Lord to do it and call on Him to enter in and to care and change the hearts of our children. That is great faith. And here is Jairus observing what the Lord is to do with his child. That's faith. He entrusted his daughter to Jesus' word. The word that our Lord spoke here when he brought this girl to life was an Aramaic word, Talitha Kumai, which simply means, daughter, I say unto thee, arise. Oh, just the word. Note the self-authority of our Lord Jesus in these words. He says, I say unto thee. He didn't speak as a prophet would have spoken, thus saith the Lord. No, he says, I say unto thee. It was his own word by which this little girl was revived. And you know, here is the means that God has given to us. We have his word. And we have to believe, we have to pray that as we bring our children to this means of grace, the reading of the scriptures, the memorizing of scripture, the preaching of that word, that the Lord will use that word to effect life. Parent, did you pray for that this morning? Now be honest now. Did you really pray before you left your home this morning, or have you been praying through the week? That as you brought your children to the house of God, to the place of Bible preaching and reading, that God would work this miracle in their hearts. That's what it is to be as Jairus, and to be really believing in the power of the Lord. That coming to church is not just a family exercise, a nice thing to do on Sunday mornings. We're looking for miracles. We're looking for great grace. We're looking for changed hearts. And the struggles that I'm having with my children, and all the teaching and training, and all the things that I'm seeking to work in my children's lives, that the Lord will take over and do the miracle and change that heart. And He uses His word. I think, fathers, on this Father's Day, we have a lot of heart searching to do. I think we have some heart searching to do. And a lot of Christian parents see their children grow up into teenage years and just drift to the ways of the world. And we wonder, what went wrong? What went wrong? First of all, we underestimated the power of sin. And we underestimated the means that God gives to change hearts. And we underestimated the need for the miracle of regeneration. And then when a child gets to the point where they're able to leave home and do their own thing, we're shocked. That's the state of their heart and the way they want to go. No, we need to see that miracle of regeneration, that saving power at work. You'll notice too that Jairus entrusted his daughter to Jesus' life. He said unto her, I say unto thee, arise. Straightway the damsel arose and walked. And she ate. Now these things are included in the narrative because it was no ghostly resurrection, it was a physical resurrection. She was raised up body and soul. She was brought back to life and she walked. Oh, that's the life that Jesus gives. And when the miracle of regeneration happens, and when the miracle of grace happens in the heart, there will be a new walk. And parents, we'll be the observer. And we will see that the old things will pass away, and the old things, and the old things will pass away, and all things will be new. There's a change in my daughter. There's a change in my son. I see it. It used to be they wanted to spend all their time in frivolous, vain, empty things. But now I see that there is a new delight and a self-driving desire in godly spiritual things. What a miracle. What a blessing. And yet, I'm going to apply this to the spiritual food that the new Christian eats. You can know a Christian by what he eats. Now, that's not physical, because if you go to Singapore, you don't know who you are or what you are or even what you're eating sometimes. But I'm talking about spiritual food. And someone says, I love the Lord Jesus, but they don't love His Word. I love to be in the presence of God, but they never pray. The food dictates the person. And parents, we cannot rest, we cannot be satisfied until we see our children eating and drinking of the Lord Jesus, that miracle food of His body and His blood, of His death, of His atonement. We've got to see that they really do hunger and thirst for Him. Now, this victory was won at the feet of Jesus. That's the great lesson here today. This man Jairus came and fell at Jesus' feet and pleaded, come, heal my daughter. Father and mother, that's where the battle for your soul will be, or your child's soul will be won, at the feet of Jesus, in prayer and pleading. Do not trust in natural causes and processes nor the machinery of the church that your child will turn out okay. Remember that children are in very great danger in this world. They are open to be attacked and assaulted by many things, and their hearts are left for dead. There's only one hope, the new birth, regeneration. And there's only one person who can change the heart, the Lord Jesus. He has the words of life. To whom else can we go? Now, there are reasons that I want to set before you, and I'm going to be very brief here. I'm going to set them out just one after the other as little links here. There are reasons why the Lord honors the faith of a father like Jairus. Because of the natural close bond that God has put between parents and children. We spend the greatest part of our lives caring, raising, feeding, clothing, guiding, directing into the ways of this world our own children. God has put that care within our hearts, and it is likewise for their spiritual blessing. No one will care for your child more than you. No one is going to agonize at the throne of grace for your child more than you. To parents, the Lord gives commandments to train them up. And if He gives you the commandment, He'll give you the grace. And He'll honor your faith. He gives us many promises. Train them up in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. This promise is unto you and to your children. And then Isaiah 59:21, one of the greatest promises in the Bible for parents. My word that I have put in your heart, and my spirit that I have put in your heart, I will put into your seed and their seed. Isaiah 59:21. What a promise. And so the faith that God has given to you as a mother or father is faith that God will honor as you plead these promises. And then, of course, children of Bible-believing, church-going parents have all the privileges of the gospel church, the means of grace, the written, the preached word, and the umbrella protection that God gives to infants and children in the house of God. Plead them, beseech God for them, and never rest until you see something like a resurrection life in your child's heart and life, walking and eating the things of God. And parents, I pray for you. I pray for the parents of this church. And I know the struggles and the cares, and I know something of the bitter tears that come when children go wayward. And I know the heartache. Praise God, there is a Savior that we can go to. And He honors the faith, the prayers, and the pleading of parents who do truly trust in the Lord Jesus. You have trusted the Lord for your own salvation, now trust the Lord for your children's salvation. Just as you went to Him with tears and agonizings for your own soul, now go to Him for your children. And may this be a happy Father's Day as it was for Jairus. May this be a day when you will look back, when you can truly say, God began to hear my cry and my pleas.